Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and everything went well for you. We finally got out of 2020, so I hope you had a happy new year, too, and hope things start going better for us this year. We've got a special show for you tonight. Of course, all our shows are special, but I'll introduce our panel, and you'll see why I say we have a special show. We've got Bob and Mary Griswold with us tonight.
Hello, hello. Hello. Happy
Bob New Year. And Mary are regular, so if you're a regular listener, you know that Mary is rightwinggranny.com. She has a conservative blog. Are you up in the millions yet, or just still into thousands?
No, we're in the thousands.
Okay. How many thousand a day?
I'm running a good, strong 15 to 20.
15,000 to 20,000 wow. Hits a day ain't bad for a conservative blog. So if you want to know what's going on in the conservative media, check in rightwinggranny.com. We have Melissa with us.
Hello.
Melissa is just a cat woman, babysits cats and dogs and stuff. Well, they're her grand dogs and grand cats and stuff, which I feel for because our dog was a grand dog and ended up being our dog. So.
Oh, these two will remain grand dogs. They're not going to become. They go home every day.
They didn't make the cut, huh?
We have Pete Benton. We've had Pete on before. I'm sure if you've listened, you've heard his shows. Matter of fact, we just reran one of his shows. He's retired Air Force. And he brings a lot to the table when he comes. And he introduced me to another guest. And Doug, I forgot your last name.
Gould.
Gould. I wrote it down, but that doesn't
work.
So Doug Gould. Doug, tell us a little bit about your background and yourself.
Well, let's see. I started out always being interested in engineering. And after 6 years in the Navy, I went to Bell Laboratories. Worked on laser physics initially, and then took over some computing work. Got started in computer forensics, and in systems administration and running. So I built a data center and did a lot of work there. Was very lucky to be tutored by some of the seminal experts in computing: Dennis Ritchie, Brian Kernighan, who are famous for writing Unix. And my personal mentor was a fellow named Fred Gramp, who is widely known as the father of Unix security. And so I did that for a number of years. I left, there are a couple of different ventures, startups and so forth that I was part of. I ran security for the Environmental Protection Agency for a couple of years, with some interesting horror stories. And then, I worked for a company called International Network Services, ran the entire Mid-Atlantic region for cybersecurity, Certified Information Systems Security Professional, CAS, and I'm also a certified anti-terrorism specialist. Mm-hmm. So master's in electrical engineering, computer science, and a few other things. So I've got a long career. I started in 81. I moved into computing about 85. Computer security became a hot topic, and so I started looking at all the technology and how it works. I've always been the kind of person who would grab something, tear it apart, figure out how it works, put it back together, and most of the time make it better.
Wow.
A lot of fun. I have always enjoyed tinkering with things, and so that's one of the things that led me to some of my other hobbies.
Well, we've got a lot in common because I pretty much followed the same path, not at the level that you did. I retired from Naval Air Station here as an IT specialist and did some IT security work there. Again, not at the level that you did, but at least I'm familiar with it. So I hope our audience out there, you guys can understand why I was excited when Pete introduced me to Doug and found out his cybersecurity background and a little bit more about him, because guess what? Cybersecurity is in the news along with terrorism and anti-terrorism. All those things are relevant to what's going on in our country today, especially during this election when there's a lot of evidence of election fraud and a lot of accusations of hacking and computer systems that are stealing the election or altering the results of the election. And maybe Doug can shine some light in on those topics for us. Matter of fact, I was listening today to a gentleman that was testifying before the Georgia Senate and House committees, and he talked about the forensic of the paper. He said, throw the machines out, throw it all away, it doesn't matter. He said, the one thing that matters is that piece of paper. All the evidence you need is right on that piece of paper, from the paper itself to the ink that's used to the way that it's marked. Right down to, you know, when you fill in that circle, are you going left to right or right to left? Or are you one of those that scratch back and forth, you know, like scratching off a lottery ticket? All that stuff can be used as evidence and, you know, the analytics. They can tell you, they can go through those ballots and tell you if it was a legitimate ballot on a legitimate piece of paper printed by the legitimate printer, or if it's a copy, a photocopy, a bad print job. Everything lines up on the paper the way it's supposed to line up so the machine accurately reads it, they can analyze the fibers in the paper to tell if it was folded and if it was mailed. And, you know, there's all kinds of forensics they can do on the paper to validate whether it's an authentic document that you, the voter, submitted and want to have counted correctly. So that was a very interesting revelation to me to see all the things that he can do. And he did offer the state of Georgia, if they'll give him the ballots, his company will perform the work for free, no charge. He also mentioned he owns hundreds of patents on barcodes and
QR codes
that when you go to the airport and you get scanned the stuff and you got your little QR code on your phone, which is your boarding pass now, he said, that's me. And he named off a lot of other things. He said, if you use a smartphone, you probably interact with me 900 times a day and don't even know you're doing it. So the guy really was intelligent and revealed a lot of information, and there were a lot of people with their jaws hanging open there. So hopefully there'll be that'll inspire the Georgia Assembly to take some action to further the investigation. I hope they do turn it over to him, you know. Rudy Giuliani came on after that and referred back to a lot of the stuff he said. So it was promising. Yes, Mary.
That's great, and it's good. But meanwhile, there's an election going on in Georgia.
With the same equipment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, are we running out of time on the 2020 election? And can we correct? I mean, the election now is already in progress in Georgia. Is it going to be the same mess?
Well, it could be. But, you know, by shining light on this and the process and showing that, hey, the first election was illegitimate, and why are you using the same methods, the same equipment,
yeah,
the same people, and, you know, same processes and expecting different results? He said, you know, like with the primary election and all that, we've recounted it three times. We keep getting the same results because we're counting the same thing over and over and over. It's not going to change. They're trying to get them to release the original paper ballots. They need to be audited. They need to have forensics analysis done on them. And hopefully we'll get that done.
I would hope so. You have to ask yourself, why are they so resistant to release those paper ballots?
Well, I think you can answer yourself on that, too.
Definitely.
All right. Okay. So with all that being said, Doug, would you like to interject your thoughts on process that they're using with the voting machines, and are they hackable, are they not? You know, we've heard they're not tied to the internet, but now we find out and they have photographic evidence and all, they are connected to something with an Ethernet cable. They do
right,
and I've been told or I've seen other reports where when you first boot one up, it asks you if you want to connect to the internet. So
but also, it's my understanding, don't they send out live feed to the media and the Secretary of Elections as these are being counted?
Well, yes and no, and I can shed some light on a number of those things. Probably one of the most revealing things to read is to go to Sidney Powell's website, krakenwood.com, and you click on the menu and look at the Supreme Court filings. And the one I would recommend people look at is the Arizona case, and read evidence attachment number one, which is an affidavit by a gentleman who was in Nicaragua with Chavez, Cesar Chavez, when he talked to the powers running a company called Smartmatic. And he explained to them in this affidavit that Chavez wanted a voting system that would capture the person's fingerprint and indicate that they had made a vote, but in no way did he want the vote tied to the person's identity. And he wanted that data to come back into a monitoring system where it was being tallied. And this gentleman in this sworn affidavit also testifies that on several different elections, he was present in the vote tabulation center and watched the process carry out, whereby they were looking at results coming in that were not what they wanted. And Chavez actually stopped the election process by having them shut the internet down across the entire country for 2 hours. When they came back up, the results were what they wanted. So they manipulated the vote in real time by shutting the process down for 2 hours. And it's kind of interesting that we had some two-hour outages in this 2020 U.S. election.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Water main broke,
which
turns out was a leaky toilet. And they just mopped the floor to it.
Sure.
But they had to shut down. Yeah.
So, I mean, there is evidence that is going to the Supreme Court. The affidavit is published. The difference, I think we've heard a lot of spin out there. People saying, "Oh, there's no evidence." And what I think you have to remember is that an election challenge is a civil trial. It is not a criminal procedure. In a criminal procedure, we walk into the court, we establish probable cause, we show some of the evidence to the judge, the court accepts it and says, "Okay, we're going to have a case." And then you hear all of it, right? In a civil matter, you don't present the evidence up front. You don't present the evidence until the trial starts.
Right.
And the courts haven't said no to these trials. They just haven't scheduled them to start. So technically, there has been no evidence accepted by a court yet because it hasn't been presented. There hasn't been a trial. But there is evidence. The affidavits are sworn under penalty of perjury. They're on krakenwood.com for you to read. Go read them. It's a really bad thing that we've witnessed in this country. I completely believe that this election was manipulated, that there was a lot of fraud in it.
Yes.
There are many, many different things. There was a video that I saw on the internet, and again, you know, I did not witness these things firsthand, so I can't, you know, authenticate the video and prove that it's legitimate, but it looked like a cell phone video.
Yeah.
Of a couple of election supervisors looking at the Dominion election tally data and highlighting a number of votes and deleting them. And of course, there's a reference in that posting. There's a reference to the operator's manual for the Dominion software that shows the screens that they're using and what they're doing. So here we have people deleting votes, and we got that on video. It's out there on the internet.
There's other video from security cameras also where they are running a stack of votes, and then they take and run the same stack back through again. And then again.
Sure.
And then again. Well, this expert today that was talking about the paper and the forensics there, he says the machine, we're talking about the adjudication of the votes in Georgia, was at 96% this time. In the past, it was like the most was 2.5% adjudication in previous elections. So why this election do you have 96%? To be adjudicated? Well, he explained the alignment of the dots and all that stuff, but he said the machine isn't telling you there's something wrong with the ballot. What it's telling you is, I've seen this before, because they're running the same ballots through, it hits that barcode, it's not a different barcode. It's one it's already seen, and it's just saying, hey, I've seen it before.
So. Well, I'd be excited for this fellow that you know to do the forensics on the paper because, you know, in a lot of the work that I've done in forensics, you know, it is possible to get a fingerprint from mm-hmm. paper. There's a yes. chemical called ninhydrin that you use to process the paper with, and you can pull the fingerprint off. It'd be interesting to see the same set of fingerprints on 50 ballots right. that you're being run 20 times each, right?
Right.
So that would kind of show.
And they did have photo evidence of some of the signatures from the actual license and then the one on the ballot. And the one on the actual license was a lot like mine. You couldn't read it.
Yeah.
The ones on the ballot, you could read it. And the people said, that's not my signature, you know. So there's a lot going on there. Bob, I'll get to you when we come back from the break. We're overdue on that. So let's take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have special guest with us this evening. His name is Doug Gould, and Doug's a cybersecurity expert, and we're pleased to have him with us. I think that, Pete, you had a question.
Yes, I did. Thank you. And Doug, thank you for the enlightenment. You know, there's an old saying, an old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think in this particular case, the more you dig, the more you're going to find rational, concrete, irrefutable evidence that, in fact, there is massive fraud in this particular election. And, you know, when you stop and think about the motives, who stands to gain and who stands to lose? And when I was thinking about this as well, you know, they said Dominion software, some of the key software here. Well, what we're finding out here, there's some serious issues and challenges with the validity of this software to effectively do their jobs and count the votes accurately. And I find it ironic, as you were saying about Hugo Chavez, and this software has been tested in a number of socialist communist countries.
Designed specifically for their purposes.
Exactly. So they refined it in these socialist communist countries so it could fit the mold here in the United States of America. And Doug, in particular, with respect to this software, is there a way they manipulate this software to, if you will, alert the people who are tabulating the counts that, hey, we got a problem here, we need to alter to shift this? If you could enlighten me on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, yeah, there is. There are a couple of different ways. So there is, you know, modification of the voting machine itself, and then there's modification of the tabulation process. According to this affidavit in Sidney Powell's case that will go before the Supreme Court, we hope, this is being done by all the votes going to a tabulation center, and they're watching these results come in real time. And when the results are not meeting their desire, they start manipulating the count of data. As I mentioned before, with the software that Smartmatic created, it tracks the fact that a voter voted, but it doesn't track that voter's result of the vote. And so because that's not tracked, it's also not possible to track a change to an individual's vote. And so how are you going to prove that, you know, the 10,000 votes that came from precinct 421 are the 10,000 that were cast, or was there 8,000, or were there 12,000 cast? We don't know. And this is simply one of the mechanisms that they're using to exploit the election. They're exploiting the tallying process. Mm-hmm. You can exploit the machine itself. We have seen rise in past years, and anybody who works in corporate computer security anywhere in the world will tell you that often a USB device is infected with a virus, and you plug it into the computer. If you're running Microsoft Windows, only if you hold the shift key down constantly while you plug in the USB will it not automatically execute a program that's on that file. Otherwise, you plug in the USB, if there's an auto start on there, it's going to load the file and run it. And it's going to run it without your knowledge, without your consent, without your ability to control that. So this is a trick that has been used by hackers for many years. You walk up to a computer, you shove a USB drive in it, and it takes a couple of seconds for the software to download and begin to execute. There was a forensic exam of a voting machine where the election board came in. They brought in a forensic specialist who plugged a USB drive into the machine and for about 4 seconds and pulled it out and walked away. This is a Dominion voting machine, which, by the way, I didn't mention before, but Dominion voting machines used in about 80% of the American election systems use the Smartmatic software. In fact, the Smartmatic software is the core of how that system operates. So what we've seen in Venezuela, what's in Sidney Powell's affidavit, is what's been used here in America. So this guy plugged in a USB and into the Dominion machine and took it out, walked away. He was not allowed in the room where they conducted the experiment. They ran a number of ballots through that machine, and 50% of them were marked for Biden and 50% were marked for Trump. But the results that came out had Biden increased by, it shifted 13% of the votes from Trump to Biden. And so Biden came out with a 26% lead over Trump, and the election team was so surprised they ran them twice and validated the results. So this has happened. This is real, and that was one machine. Now, right. I think the bigger issue here is this Smartmatic system as used in Venezuela. In the Sidney Powell affidavit, there are two actual elections. Chavez was elected. He gives the exact date, the times, the locations, etc., as you would expect in an evidentiary testimony. And Chavez was able to retain power. as I mentioned before, he actually shut the internet down in Venezuela for a couple of hours to manipulate the votes. And that's happened here in the U.S. as well. We stopped counting for a couple of hours, and then all of a sudden they come back. I look at some of the things on the internet. One case, CNN is reporting that Trump has 29,000-something votes and Biden has 17,000 in one precinct. And quite literally, on an unedited, uninterrupted video, 30 seconds later, Trump has 17,000 and Biden has 29,000.
Yeah. Right.
Now, yeah. I'm sorry, the votes don't go down.
And that's on live TV.
Mm-hmm. That's on live TV. It was on CNN.
And because they're monitoring that live feed.
They are monitoring a live feed. That data is not being typed in by a person who kicked the numbers. That is coming in electronically, and it's a live feed. So we saw them change in real time. I've seen several of those during the election that I thought were questionable as well.
And, you know, one reason we've got so much evidence is these people are so corrupt and so greedy. They aren't satisfied with just a little bit of hedging and winning by a little bit. They went way overboard. I mean, some of the things, okay, how do you, as mentioned before, have a state where every seat across the ballot goes Republican until you get up to the governor and the attorney general and, you know, the ones that are going to sit on and are responsible for the elections in that state. Those seats go to Democrats. Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't.
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately with the so many different areas of evidence. You know, we have dead people voting. We have pets voting. We have the machines. We have duplicated ballots. We have ballot harvesting. And when I read the comments on the mainstream media sites, they're like, oh, here we go again. You know, something else. So they're going to say it's this now or that. It's all of that. And, you know, everyone says it on both sides. This was the biggest election of our lifetime. This was worldwide, big, major impact. Who wins this election worldwide? So you have, you know, it's not just this one group who did this one thing to these machines. It's all of these people who, to the death, want to win this election. And I think, you know, they did. They spread it wide. And think about, too, the Democrats raised way more money in election funding than the Republicans did. Biden had tons of money coming in. Remember, he has people like Hollywood, and he has the elite, and they write million-dollar checks to these campaigns, but he didn't put them into his campaigning. I mean, what did he pay for, like, six seats, you know, that were set in circles? And there was no campaigning done by him to match the funding. That money went somewhere. I mean, these people...
Yep, I agree. Let's take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
It is useless to resist us.
People's homes are being ruined by these monsters.
It is useless to resist us.
From here, there is no escape.
It is useless to resist us.
I sure would like to get out of here.
Keep your dark glasses on and stay where you are.
The revolution is on.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call.
I want to go back to some history. Because one of the things that played in this last election goes back to the Clinton years. And that's the motor voter bill. Because the motor voter bill required that states purge their voter rolls periodically to get rid of dead people and people who had moved. And when the case came up in Georgia that would be done, oddly enough, the judge in that case was Stacey Abrams' sister, but there's no conflict of interest there. And that purging of the voter rolls to get rid of the dead and moved voters was blocked. So I think, now I'm going to step on some toes here. I think part of the Republicans' problem is they don't plan ahead for the duplicity of the Democrats. The Democrats are brilliant advanced planners, not necessarily in a good way. And I'm hoping, I don't know, but I'm hoping that Trump is playing three-dimensional chess here and that he's going to be a step ahead of them. Right. But there are no guarantees.
Yeah, another thing they don't do that Democrats are really good at is they don't stand up and fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're okay. We're not like them. We'll accept the loss and go on from here. Dan Forrest, I was so upset at him, almost immediately
conceded
the election without questioning. Wait a minute. How did this guy get all those votes all at one time? He did the same thing in the 2016 election. Was it Wake County? I can't remember. One of those counties, all of a sudden, all these thousands of votes show up, and he's the governor, okay? And nobody questions that. Well, some of us did, but we've had him for the last 4 years.
That was the situation where you had 1,000 voters registered with their address as a shed in a parking lot on the campus of a college.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I've worked.
It's a friendly group.
I've worked the polls as chief judge and as just judge because the way it works is whatever party is in the governor's house is who the judge is. So the chief judge is a Democrat now because we have a Democrat governor. But I've been both. I've seen they come in and you ask them for their name and their address. They give you an address. You pull it up. And, well, no, that's not the address we have. So they give you a second address. No, that's not it. And they finally get it right on the third one. Who doesn't know
what their address
is?
So, yeah, a couple of thoughts. I heard, about the reference back to the Clinton years. And when I look at this election, and I look at how the results are skewed down at the county level in so many states, it becomes obvious that this didn't just happen. It's not a small group of people. This is a very large, highly coordinated effort. And to that point, there was a video on YouTube that was some story that was critical of Trump. I don't remember exactly, but there's some 300 different news stations, and they were all reporting on this statement. They read the exact same words in the exact mm-hmm. same language and order across 300 stations. That is not an accident. That was a script that was pushed out.
That's the Mockingbird Media.
Yes,
we talked about that before. Mockingbird Project was started by the CIA back in the early 50s or late 40s. Yeah. And that's where they coordinated. 4 a.m., they dropped the news talking points. And that's why you see all of them saying virtually the same thing, because they're being directed what to say. Yes, Bob.
I was going to add on to that. And our journalism schools have become so lazy that they accept that as the only truth that they need to report.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to key in on something you were talking about at locals, county level. I want to assure people that this level of fraud is not going on in every county. I can speak specifically for Craven County because I've been involved in it. Our systems are not attached to the internet. I know that for a fact because I'm there and I'm an IT guy and I look for stuff like that. But we do have a problem. And we've got a gentleman, he's an analyst, he's a retired military police, and he did a lot of criminal investigating for the military. He's been looking at this for the past few elections. The data that's acquired here locally, he can find no problem with it. It's when it leaves here and gets transmitted to Raleigh. Things change. Now, he is still analyzing today from this last election, and the way he does it, he'll download the public files from the State Board of Elections. They post the files up there, the results. He downloads it, dates it, archives it, saves it, because when they download tomorrow, they'll overwrite the file that was already there. Okay, so he's having to archive, because the importance of it is when you look at the file that was there yesterday, now the election's been over how long? Nothing should be changing.
And certified.
Yes, mm-hmm. And certified. The numbers are still changing. Why is that? And that's the questions he's looking at. And he has found some stuff. He's taking it to the legislators. They're looking at it. We don't know where it's going to go. But that's where the problem here is. It's not here locally that we're on the internet or anything like that. But when that stuff is sent to Raleigh, that's where your problem's at. All right.
That's exactly how the Smartmatic software works. It intercepts the transmission from the local counties to the tallying headquarters, and that's where the manipulation is occurring. And again, wow. You know, since you can't trace the voter's individual vote to the count, there's no way to audit that transmission except by going in and manually counting all the ballots for the entire state.
All right. Well, I just wanted to point that out because a lot of the video you're seeing on TV in these large places like Detroit and Atlanta and all, where they're in a coliseum and they've got hundreds of stations set up and a lot of computers there are all hooked together in a little room, that it doesn't work that way here in the rural North Carolina.
Another thing I wanted to mention, so there's a lot of deception in the media. I'm not going to point fingers at one or another. There's some of this happening on both sides. But when I talk about security and integrity, we talk about having a reason to trust the information you're getting. So, you know, Don whoever on MSNBC, why do you trust this guy? Well, do you trust him because he's got a job?
Why we have fact checkers on Facebook and Twitter?
Right. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. Fact checkers on Facebook and Twitter are employed through a subcontractor who is paid through TikTok, and they are paid with Chinese money.
Ooh.
Hello.
And who's fact checking the fact checkers besides me and Melissa?
Well, I mean, who is giving any air or any broadcast circulation to the people who criticize the fact checkers? And in fact, we're being censored and shut down by leftist corporations. And
you have no recourse.
That's correct.
Glad you mentioned that censor and shut down. We know that, let's see. This is airing on the 2nd. So it's not January the 6th yet. There's the big event in D.C., January the 6th. And one of the organizers that started that, the Stop the Steal is the event. I was listening to him on a Facebook feed, or was it Twitter? It's one or the other. He was talking about the event coming up and how some of the hotels have shut down. The liberal-owned hotels, they aren't having porta-potties, it looks like. They're doing everything they can to make it difficult to discourage people from going. All the restaurants are shut down, so you don't have food. You don't have a place to go to the bathroom. You know, they're trying to make it as inconvenient as possible for patriots to go there and exercise their rights to address their elected representatives. So, anyway, the thing was about an hour and 15 minutes long, and I was about halfway through it, and it quit. So I reloaded it, and it came back. Had I lined through it, this feed is no longer available. They shut him down. They took him off of Twitter. You can get to him on Parler, but, you know, there's a lot of instances of that going on every day. They're shutting down and totally deleting accounts because of what they're saying.
And we hear in Congress today that, I mean, one of the reasons Trump didn't sign the relief bill originally, and it went back for a veto override, is that he disagreed with this bribery. I'm going to call it what it is. It's bribery that have been paid to our congressional officials to make organizations like Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and others exempt from the content that's on their systems, and of course exempt from censoring people. And, you know, my belief, after having worked in telecommunications for 40-something years, you know, if you're the phone company and you tap somebody's wire or alter their communications or alter that communications data, that's felony. They're going to shut the company down, and there's not going to be one. There are going to be dozens or hundreds of people going to prison for that. I look at Facebook today. I've got friends who don't use any other method to get. They don't answer the phone. They'll text me on Facebook Messenger, or I'll see a tweet come out. And it is my belief that, you know, whether by design or just by acquiescence, we have reached the point in this country and in this globe where these social media companies have become common carriers, and they deserve the very same regulations that our telcos have with respect to privacy, non-intrusion, not stealing your data, etc. One case, I had a, I won't get into the details, but there was an individual that a friend of mine and I were very, very careful never to identify online. And it was because he worked in security at a very high level, and so we were just protecting one of our sources. On one occasion, one time, I mentioned his name in the content body of an email, which we would think is private. We understand, yeah, you're collecting metadata. That's kind of like the post office getting the address, the to and from address. And, you know, it's valuable for understanding where the traffic is going and, you know, where you need big networks and so forth. Google, through Gmail, looked at the content of my email. They plucked that name out. They sold it to Facebook. And a month later, I got a notice from Facebook. Here's a guy you might want to be friends with. That's kind of interesting. I've only ever mentioned him one time in my life, and it was in a Google email on Gmail. And so, you know, if you want to think about security and trustworthiness, Google is not trustworthy. 100% certain.
Right. None of them are, in my opinion. Melissa, you had something? Okay. We're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back and continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've had very interesting conversations here with Doug Gould and Pete Benton as our guests today. And, man, like was talked about during the break, we could go on for several hours like this. And you know, some of our most interesting conversations happen when we're off air. So during this past break, Mary asked a question, and she wanted to go around the table and get everybody to give her a number of what our percentage was that we thought that the election results could be corrected and Trump would be inaugurated in January. And that led to a really interesting conversation. And Doug, you had some interesting things to say about our vulnerability and the type of war that we're probably looking at down the road somewhere. What kind of attack is it? You know, our power grids are vulnerable. We know that.
They are.
And I don't think people actually know just how vulnerable all of our systems are because we're an automated world now. Everything's controlled digitally, and unfortunately cyber attacks are a real thing. EMPs are real things. You know, they're not science fiction. They're actually capable of doing that. We have had attempts, trial runs on our power grid, some of them successful. Some of these things people never hear about, never know about, because the government doesn't want you to know. But we are very vulnerable. Yes, Bob?
Well, I was going to add to what you were saying that, again, having worked in supply chain management since about 1970, we have a very, very tuned supply chain that when you check out of a grocery store, that's adding to the inventory. That's adding to the inventory requirements so that they can place it to their warehouse, so somebody can place it to the back end supplier. You break that supply chain, and guess what? Your grocery store is going to be empty.
Right. And so much of what we rely on nowadays, as we have talked about over the last couple of segments of the show, the people that are running it are not trustworthy. Your Facebooks, your Twitters, your Googles, your Amazons, those people don't think like you do. They don't have the same politics. They don't have the same agenda. They don't have the same faith or moral background. And these foreign entities that are working against us don't have our best interests at heart either. It's a global initiative to take us down because we are a threat to those entities. And it didn't just start in this election or the past election. It's been building for generations, actually. And the goal is to take us out.
When you say we're a threat, is that we just won't fall in line?
We're a threat because of our freedom, our democracy, our rights that are given to us by God. We don't control our people. We allow them to operate on their own free will.
Even if we don't agree with them.
That's right. At least we did. We're fast losing that. If people don't start standing up for their rights and their freedoms like our forefathers did, the Patriots, you know, we had a handful of people that beat the most powerful Navy in the world to give us our freedoms that we have here. It looks like we may have that coming again.
You're so right about that. I mean, in the news in the last couple of days, there was a citizen in Wuhan, China, who was a citizen journalist who had reported about the Wuhan outbreak and all the activity that happened in China, and she was arrested. She was held for 9 or 10 months. They just convicted her, and she's getting four years in prison for reporting the truth about what happened with this COVID-19 virus. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to a town or a city near you if you don't stand up and stop it.
Right. And since you brought that topic up, I'll interject some thoughts on that. Is it a real virus? Yes, it is. It's out there.
And I believe it is.
Just like the flu viruses have been out there. It's a different version, a different makeup. It was manipulated by man. But it's still, if you look back historically, it hasn't killed any more than other flus have in the past. But what has it accomplished? Say you're China or a foreign entity that you're goal is to take this country apart. What have they accomplished? They've divided us. Yeah. We've got the ones that wear masks and the ones that don't. And the ones that wear them think the ones that don't are evil and are not considerate of other people's lives and all. They can sit back now with facial recognition and all the other tools that are out there. Every time you go out and go shopping, you're on security cameras. Every time you go traveling through the airports and all that, you're on security cameras. They can identify you, and now they know who can we manipulate, who can be compliant, who will follow whatever we tell them to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we have scared them to death with the threat of something that could take their loved ones away from them, their elderly parents, their young children. We've scared them to death now that people that are not wearing masks are evil, and they're going to kill us all, and we are going to comply with whatever they tell us. And now the next thing is the vaccine.
So I was watching a fascinating video on candy making today. It was a company in Australia, and they were live streaming. And they actually had people commenting, and a lot of people from America were like, where are your masks? What is the COVID like over there? They run a very public, highly trafficked store. They're very popular. They were making the candy. They were not wearing masks. People coming in and out were not wearing masks. They were like, we really don't have the COVID here anymore. It's, you know, we had a few cases here. They were shut down, but, you know. I really think, you know, is this something to think about, that we're the biggest threat, hence we have the biggest problem? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's put into our heads every single day that we have the worst problem, and also that Trump is doing the worst job protecting us.
But do we really?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you really see
the country is the biggest threat to the one world order, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I know there are people in this room that have had losses of friends, relatives from COVID. I understand it's a real thing, and you don't want to lose anybody. But is it as extreme as we're being made to believe it is?
In reference to what you said, Melissa, we remember in February, March, when we were going to lock down for 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that was going to solve the problem?
Yep.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over yep. again and expecting different results.
Right.
That's lockdowns.
Right. Well, I wanted to get back into some of the cybersecurity stuff, but
I think we need a part two.
I'm saying we've run out of time. Doug, you think you could come back and let's continue this conversation?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we'll get you on the schedule. Maybe we can get you back next week. But folks, you've been listening to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're a grassroots organization. We're patriots, defenders of the Constitution. We give out free constitutions. We are fighting for our freedoms. We are watchdogs. We try to keep an eye on our elected officials, hold them to what they said they would do when they were running for office, and hold them accountable when they don't do what they should be doing. We need help, folks. We need more people to get involved, get interested. We also do education classes on the Constitution. One of our favorite books that we do studies on is The 5,000-Year Leap. If you haven't read it, I urge you to go out and get it. You can find it on anywhere you buy books, The 5,000-Year Leap, and it'll give you a great historical perspective of our country. David Barton's just released a new book. Cannot remember the title, something in History of America. But if you look for David Barton's newest book, you'll find that. They say it's better than the 5,000-Year Leap. I find that hard to believe, but I'm going to have to go out and buy it and see. Anyway, please go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. That's our website. You can find out more about us there. You can help us out by clicking on the donate button. Help us buy paper and ink and all the things we need to go out and do our activism and the constitutions that we give away. You can come and join us at our public meetings. It's the third Tuesday of every month, downtown New Bern. It's Stanley Hall Ballroom. It's free. It's open to the public, and you're invited. And you can find out all about it at cctaxpayers.com. That's all the time we have for this week. Hope you'll come back and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.